Dr. Malachi Z. York have devoted his visit to this planet to the resurrection of the mentally dead, which he affectionately referred to it as mummy. Never did he know that the evil one had done such a great job with these people, both mentally and physically, as to have them hate self and kind. His greatest dilemma and hindrance has been the black devil, born amongst you and by you, married to you, socializing with you, praying in the same sacred houses of worship as you. But secretly, they have a spiritual pact with the devil, which makes it near impossible for them to total surrender to Nwapu. But for the few chosen from the many called, he sifts to find those beings that wish to become one with the Supreme in all. So he, the Supreme Grand Hierophant, Amun Nebi Re'akata, as known throughout the mystical schools, the incarnation of Tahuti, Thoth, student of the great tomb known as Atumre, the first point of resurrection from ignorance to the right knowledge, the right wisdom, and the right understanding. Dr. Malachi Z. York has blended in with each of the religions most interesting to his people. He has lived as one of them, practiced as one of them in order to reveal the misconceptions of these doctrines that have plagued and diseased the minds of his people. Among the Arabs of Al-Islam in the degree of Mohammedism, he was known as Sayyid Isa al-Hadi al-Mahdi, or simply Imam Isa. Being fluent in the many dialects as well as the classical Arabic language, he translated word for word without biasness in favor of the Islamic religion, the Quran, from Syriac Arabic into English. He sat beneath the great Shahuf as a student, one of which was Mahmud Muhammad Mahmud, and the great master, Karama Sheikh al-Husan of the Kalawatiya order of Sufis out of Sudan, as a Mahdiya or Ansar. As a Moorish American, under Noble Jew Ali as M. York L., he republished and revised the Holy Quran, Circle 7. Their connection with the NOI, Nation of Islam, known as the Black Muslims, encouraged him to do an in-depth study of the teachings of Master W.D. Fard, Allah in person, to his final messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He released several books explaining in depth their doctrine, which led him to another ex-member of the Nation of Islam called Clarence 13X, a self-styled Allah who founded the 5% Nation of Gods and Goddesses. Dr. York collected data and published the Problem Book, their interpretation of the English class lessons of the Nation of Islam. Amongst the Hebrew Israelites, while in the degree of Mosism, he was known as Rabboni Yahshua Bar El Hadi. As a Hebrew, he was bar mitzvahed by the great Rabbi Matthews of Harlem. Through the school of Judaism, he translated the Torah and the Psalms from the ancient Hebrew into English. Amongst the Christians, in the degree of Christism, he was known as Reverend Malachi Z. York, or Dr. York, pastor and founder of the Egyptian Church of Christ, through the school of Christism. He translated and explained the Book of Revelation from Galilean Arabic and the ancient Greek. In this day and time, he received the new holy tablet, our own scripture that each day, as scientists, astronomers, and the like, uncover new evidence confirming that it was indeed divinely inspired. And is not merely a book, but a revelation, a holy scripture with prophecies of the future which are manifesting daily. Also, he translated the book of the coming forth by day, called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, from hieroglyphics as Amenubiru-Akata. He also released a series of books called Behind the Nine Ball and Bible Interpretations and Explanations. He felt it was his duty as the true reformer and savior to his people to make that which is unclear, clear. He have also revealed the doctrine of those called the Hebrew Israelites and the like with a series of books called 360 Questions to Ask and three volumes of over 1,000 pages, each entitled The Degree of Mosism, The Degree of Christism, and Degree of Mohammedism, covering any question that anyone could have pertaining to any of the three monotheistic religions. He has also traveled the rough and rugged path of Freemasonry and have arrived at the Imperial Grand Potentate internationally of the Ancient Arabic and Oriental Order, Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, New Mecca Temple, number 11. And IGP of AEO and NMS Al-Mahdi Temple, Northern and Southern Jurisdiction, the Worshipful Master of Nuwapian Grand Lodge, AF and AM, also Deputy Grand Master Pride of Georgia Grand Lodge, AF and AM, 33rd Scottish Rite Freemason of Amos Grand Lodge of Macon, Georgia. He entered the order of the Acacia under the most worshipful master, the illustrious Charles Tinsley, 33rd degree at King Solomon's Lodge, number 4 of Brooklyn, New York, the Grand Enoch Lodge in Brooklyn, New York, on Putnam and Nostrum Avenue. Prince Hall affiliated, and of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite Freemasonry, AF and AM jurisdiction of Georgia, called Zerubbabel, Grand Chapter, Royal Arch Mason, United States and Canada. His travels took him throughout the world, from sitting with the mystics and the monks under the Tibetan master Lama Mutkukuma of China, to the Grand Lodge in Cairo, Egypt, Northeast Africa, to being a member of the Rosicrucian Order since 1974, as well as Astara Mystic Order since 1975 AD, for more than 25 years. As the Supreme Grand Hierophant of the Ancient Egyptian Order, AEO, Mir No. 9, his family has been Freemasons for generations in Virginia's then Shriners Temple No. 122, Newport News, Virginia, and Daughters of Isis, then Court No. 98, Prince Hall affiliated. He stepped on to the White Lodge Freemasonry from the Black Egyptian mystery as Tahuti, Thoth, called Hermes, thrice times great, the possessor of the Master's Key, keeper of the secret word to become a Haru, Horus, a companion of the great Hierophant, I am Hotep, the scribe of the secret doctrine, conferrer of the 720 degrees in the secret number 9 and the guardian of the ninth gate, raising from the ninth chamber the secret, which will give you the power to realign yourselves. He was there, which is here, when the word, let there be light, was uttered. He has stood the test of time. He has been questioned by scholars and historians of all religions and denominations. Dr. Malachi Z. York is capable of answering the unanswered and solving the problems of the world. Yet, his personal interest is in each and every one of you. He says, I am not a holy man or a preacher. I am a master teacher. He have resurrected in the West the ancient fraternity, AEO, with healing in his wings, the spiritual order of our ancestors, the Egyptians, and your true bloodline under the reincarnation of Natir Amenubidu Akata, your Aferti, Pharaoh, for this day and time, Atumre. He have experienced all the religions and sacred orders, and now bring you the ancient Egyptian order, AEO, the true order of the Egyptians, that which gave birth to all others, and in this day and time has become the fastest growing movement for world peace of the new millennium. You have found your way to that which you have sought all your life. And now, I introduce to you the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi Z. York.
وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على الانبياء اجمعين والمسيح والمحكي والمجدد لمن مرسلين اما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that he is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
The shahada, bearing witness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is done 100,000 times in Muslims' life because they do it in prayer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. All the time, first of all. But when you take your initial baptism to be born again, as the Christians refer to it, your shahada should be taken once. But many people here are being misled by false teachers who really don't know what they're doing. Let me correct myself now, though. They mean well. They mean well, but they just don't know. Just like a doctor who operates because they can't get a specialist. And then later on, there's some problems with the patient. But we have a lot of doctors who are pre-med students operating on the minds of our people because they didn't wait long enough for a specialist to come. All right? So what happens is they have a lot of people come up from Pakistan, Egypt, Sudan, different countries. But when these Arabs come here, a lot of them are not informed in Deen of Islam. They have not been raised to teach Islam. They are as informed as the average Christian walking the street. If he was in an Arab country and said he was a Christian, he'd be very impressive there, just with his little knowledge of the Bible. You see, the fact that he doesn't speak classical English, they would accept his English as English. Same thing happens here. A lot of brothers in America are exposed to Arabs who come here who have never studied Arabic, never studied the classical Arabic. They know how to speak Arabic because their country speaks Arabic and they speak in different dialects. They know Surah Al-Fatiha, they know Surah Ikhlas and Nas and the Kalimah, a couple of rudiment things, and the rest of it they put together at night at home on paper when they come to your community. And these people who came here for economics and political science and open pork stores on Northern Avenue and such, these people are now teaching our people. And they're using us as another supplement for finance. They're not concerned in the least in who you are, because if they were, the first thing they would tell you is where you came from. But what these people will do is tell you that there is no racism in Islam, and there is no tribalism in Islam, when the Holy Quran directly speaks of tribalism and identifies racism, because it says لإله في قريش, for the protection of the Quraysh tribe. So there's tribe. They would first identify and teach a person who they are to give them a foundation, where they came from, how you got into America, so they can get the illusion out of your head that white Arabs brought you here, and not the people from Spain. They got everybody thinking that Arabs are responsible for the slave trade. The Arabs have any concern about you as a people at all, one of their first concerns would be to refute that lie and clear it up.
Where in the Injil is it written, if you know, because I don't, that Isa, so it's wrong, is considered just a prophet and not Son of God?
First of all, it's important that we realize that Isa is the Son of God. You understand?
You hear me?
Isa is the Son of God. The problem is in languages. This is the problem. When we get back to the Arabic and the Hebrew language, which is basically the same languages, different dialects, we have two words for son. One of them is walada, waw lam dal, walada. And the other is ibnun, alif ba nun. The brother's writing it on the board, ibnun. When you look at the word ibnun, if you take the first letter, that straight line, that alif off, you get the word ben. Ben means from bene, to adopt a son. You follow?
Yes.
When you look at the word walada and you remove the wow on it, you get the word lid, which means conception or to conceive, to give birth to. So, throughout their scriptures, the problem is, my beloved brother, is that they are reading their scriptures in English, which was translated from the original Arabic into the Hebrew, down into Aramaic, down into Greek, down into Latin, down into the Queen's and King James English, and then now into New Standard English. And no one took the time to explain, because most of the translators didn't know the Semitic languages. You see, they only knew the Greek and the Latin. They didn't know the Semitic ones, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Arabic, and know that there's a difference for conception conceiving a son and just calling a person your son. The Quran al-Kareem, min Allah Ta'ala, supports it because it refers to a man as Abu Lahab in the Quran, the father of flame. This implies that we know he could not have given birth to fire, right? But that as Abu Lahab, this is a name meaning the father of flame. There was a man who the Sunni Muslims recognize as the first Khalifa after Rasulullah Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam, and his name was Abu Bakr Siddiq. His name, Bakr, comes from the word Bakara, early in the morning. You see? And they call him Abu Bakr, father of the early in the morning. Now you and I know that he did not give birth to early in the morning. You see? Then, in the Sunni Muslim world, they have a celebration which is called Mawlid al-Nabi. And they use the word Mawlid, mean Wow Lam Yadel, Mawlid al-Nabi, which is the word Walad, again if you look at it and see it from the bird, you see? And that means the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad. When a person greets you with happy birthday in Arabic, they say Eidul Milad. Eid means celebration, and Milad, which is Mim Ya Lam Alif Del, Milad, that's birthday, generation, by birth, conception. So, throughout our scriptures, where Isa Ibn, son of adopted Ibn Maryam, or one of the Maryam, makes no difference in her case, but she was his real mother, you see, is used for the son of God, or the son of Allah. They never, ever use that word Walid. They always use the word Bena, Ya Bena Israel in the Quran, all children of Israel or sons of Israel. They never use the word Walid. So when the Muslims are arguing, and mainly the American Muslims, because you don't find too many Arabs arguing this point, when they're arguing this point, because you're confronted with Christians and they're not, that's why, they always get stuck, the Americans, not knowing the language is the trick. If me and you was to turn to the Holy Quran, the 112th surah of the Holy Quran, which we both know is Surah Al-Ikhlas, right, from purified, we read from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Begin all things with the illustrious name of Allah, the yield of the most merciful. Qul, he's speaking to Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel Jibreel, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, is telling the Prophet Muhammad, in an order tense, Qul, say, tell them, Huwa Allahu Ahad, that he, huwa, ya huwa, Allah is Allah, and he is ahad, he is wahdahu la sharika lahu, he is alone and has no partner. That's the statement it starts off with. Then to make sure Muhammad understood, he said, tell them this. And of course, Muhammad being immortal, his expression made Jibreel repeat from Allah, Allahu samad. Allah is samad. He's independent of this. Now the word walada and walida comes in. Walada without the alif after the while is son. Walida with the alif after the while is father, one who gives birth. So Allah says, lam yalid walam yulad. Lam, he did not yalid. That word I told you, yalid, he did not father anyone, walam, and he did not yulad, become anyone's walad, son. Then it goes on, walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Walam, and it does not, lakul lahu, exist for him, kufuwan ahad, in anything equal to him, so there is no woman for him to have a wife. If the Muslims understood Surah Al-Ikhlas better, they'd understand that the Christians can jump and shout and scream and say, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is the Son of God, and they say, you're right, Jesus is Ibn Allah. The same way Adam was Ibn Allah, and the same way all of us is Ibn Allah. And they say, well, Jesus didn't say that. Say, Jesus said this, though, Abna al-Ladhi, Abna al-Ladhi, our Father al-Ladhi, which be Samawati, art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. He used the word Abba for Father, which is like the Ibn for son, adopted, Abu Bakr. Abu Lahab, Abana, the Na on the end is from Nahnu, meaning our or we or us. So Jesus says, I want y'all to pray after this manner, and he established the divinity right there when he said, our Father who art in heaven in Matthew's. Right? He followed by saying, hallowed be thy name. Your name, not his name, not Jesus' name. Hallowed be thy name. But he said, our Father. And he said in St. John, and as many as believe on me, to them I give the power to become sons of Allah, or God, as they say. If Jesus can give you the power, then it means it's something that you get anointed into or gain, because Jesus was called the Messiah, the Anointed One. So if he can anoint you and make you a Messiah, then by becoming a Messiah, you become a son of Allah. And he did tell them that he was not Christ, he was a Messiah in St. John chapter 1, verse 41, when he said, he first found his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So the word Messiah, Messiah, or Messiah, means to wipe something and make it clean. You see? And Jesus said, as many as believe on him, to them he gives the power to become the sons of God. He said, they can't get to heaven unless they pass by him, do it his way. That's the nation of people that he was what? Sent to. And that's a very important point that the Christians always seem to jump over. They don't see that word, Rasala. The word in the Arabic language is Rasala. Sent. You see, Jesus said, I am not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? Now, the word sent means there must be a sender. If someone is sent, someone sent him. You see? Now, no one sends God Almighty, as they call him, anywhere. No one sends the Lord God anywhere. The Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, he's the one who sends his prophets or his angels or his messages into the world. So when Jesus made the statement right in the Bible, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was confessing then that he did not come on his own, that someone sent him. And I asked the Christians, who sent him? And they say, his Father. And I say, who art in heaven? And if they say yes, then he wasn't in him. If his Father, according to the prayer, was in heaven, then he wasn't in him. Then I also say, because you told me that when Jesus was on the cross and he was about to die, he looked up towards the heaven. You said this, because I don't believe it. He raised his eyes, not you, but they, and he said what? Father, it is over. What's over? The judgment of the world? The crucifixion? Then he said, unto thy hand I send my spirit. Alright? Or command my spirit. But the point is, if he was speaking to the heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and said, I send my spirit to you, then he did claim that the spirit that was in him Was it the Holy Ghost? Was it the Father? Or was it His Spirit? He said, unto thee I send my Spirit. He didn't say, your Spirit inside me is willing. Your Holy Ghost is God in me is willing. And it's the man in me that's weak. He said, my Spirit. You understand the point I'm trying to make? So He made it clear that the Spirit that was in His body was His own. And even if the Christians believed that was Him on the cross, that man on the cross said, unto your hands I send my Spirit. Which means that He was sending His Spirit from earth to heaven at that point. So if He had to send the Spirit to heaven, then the Spirit was not in Him at the time. Or that was not Jesus, because St. John said when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon Him and resided with Him forever. So therefore, that man on the cross could not have been the same man who received the Holy Spirit at the baptism of John, and that that Spirit stayed with him forever, because this man said, I'm sending back the Spirit. You cannot be here forever and send it back. You can't have a car forever and don't have it. You understand?
Yes,
they got to stop lying to our people, because the truth has come, and false things must perish. Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought this Quran al-Kareem bil-haq, with the fact beyond any doubt, to clear up this mess. And if me and you use it right, the way He sends it, and not the way Bukhari and Shafi and a whole bunch of Pakistanian and Saudi Arabian and Egyptian scholars want us to think, because they're Christianized Muslims, you are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You are the seed that has to save the world. The sun is going to rise in the west. And now, when that statement was made, believe me, angels know suns don't really rise. So He couldn't have been talking about the sun chumps of me and you look up at. Because the sun don't move. Okay, question.
Okay, thank you for a very good answer. Next question is... It's becoming a situation where our people are being systematically killed off behind this crack situation in, you know, today's time. What can we as people do to re-educate ourselves and come together as a unit so that we can function as a true people on this planet?
That's a very good question. And most people are so interested in how great they are, they never ask that foundation. Our problem as a people is that we have been convinced by the white man that we can function as individuals also. No. Carnivorous animals function as individuals. Vegetarians hang in packs. You understand what I'm saying? Deers and antelope and elephants and other docile peaceful creatures which are vegetarian hang in family groups. Lions come together to hunt on these docile animals. You got me? So they can meet in the United Nations building. They can meet in legislation and Congress, which means really opposite of progress, Congress, they can meet in these places, but they meet for one purpose and one purpose only, to prey upon the docile people. And we have been so brainwashed by his television and his media and his stupid images that we as black people, Nubians, are now beginning to believe that we can function as individuals. It's only until you get into his infrastructure, in his military, in his prison houses, or in his big money circles that you realize that they're tightly linked and they take orders. Like Elijah Muhammad said, they obey Yaqub regardless of what he tells them to do. You see? Black people disobey each other regardless of what they tell each other to do, because we're always trying to outdress each other. We live by a thing called the dog eat dog, or living with the Joneses. If you got new sneakers, I got to get new sneakers. If your wife got a new ring, my wife needs a new ring. He's created this in us. Our problem is the thing that we, Ansar Allah, is trying to do is what the Quran says. وَتَصْتِمُوا بِالْحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِعًا وَلَا تَفَرُّقُوا. Hold together وَتَصْتِمُوا بِالْحَبْلِ, on a rope like a tug of war, and put those carnivorous animals on the other side. And hold on to the حَبْلِ اللَّهِ as a jama'ah, as a community. وَلَا, and don't تَفَرُّقُوا. Let anyone separate you up. This is hard for us to do. It is very difficult for you and I to come together and live together and try to iron out all the Negro and Negroidly things that he bred into our people. But if we are to survive for our children's sake, we've got to do it. We have no choice. You're right. Genocide by way of crack is part of it. He has to take the attention off of the things that are in the news that are pointed at him, everything from his Christian churches becoming revealed as liars and crooks and fornicators and adulterers and sodomy, and these are their preachers who they've been donating millions of dollars to stay on air. You know about that going on in the news now, right? They have got to put something in the news to take everybody's mind off of the mistakes they have made and how the world is looking at them. Our people must come together as a family. In our motherland, we've always lived as family and as tribes. We got to tolerate each other and our differences and things we don't like about each other, and we got to come together like the so-called Jew and form communities. They have a Jewish neighborhood, right? They have an Italian neighborhood. They have an Irish neighborhood. They have a Polish neighborhood. Then they have Harlem. How come they don't call it a black neighborhood? Everybody else is a nationality neighborhood. The Italian neighborhood, the Jewish neighborhood, the Irish neighborhood, the Chinese, Chinatown, Harlem. You follow? And the sad thing about Harlem is they refer to Harlem as the ghetto, right? Does anybody remember what happened to the last place that was called the ghetto?
They killed Jews there.
That's right. They massacred those people in the ghetto in Germany. So they call the tribal gathering centers of us Nubians ghetto, because they plan and they will do it. Massacre you the same way. We have got to form a front. We have got to come together, the black men, and work together. We've got to stop our women from going out to working for him, and we've got to provide for them so they can become mothers again, so they can help to raise our children in the things that we want them to learn and not what they're putting on these 900 channels they got on television now. You follow? We men gotta come together and provide for our women so that our women can stay home and educate our children. That's what we need now. Forming black organizations and new mosques and new sects and having all this stuff about we need to build money for this, we gotta do that, all that's wonderful. But we've gotta come together as a tribe. That's how we function. And then we gotta iron out all these differences that he put in our heads. And we got to learn to live by three principles that a man named Sheikh Daoud Ahmed Faisal told everybody years ago. Live for, of, and by each other. See those principles? We got to learn to live for, of, and by each other. I got to learn to care about you. I found it very interesting. I don't know if it caught you, that the brother said to you, sit down and take the weight off your leg and ask questions. Black people don't do stuff like that. You can get on a train and brothers will be sitting there and see your legs hurt and won't give you the seat. I mean, not all of them. There's some. And I'm not saying that because he's an Ansar. Forget that. I'm just saying that to say that it is happening inside of us again. The little spark of concern for each other is beginning to happen again. Let's let it grow. Let me forget your last name. Let you become my real brother and let me learn to care for you as much as I care for myself. Let us learn to live for, of, and by each other. Okay?
Shukran, is there anything that I can use in dealing with a Christian where it speaks specifically about Jesus by name being after the order of Melchizedek, and it's self-explanatory as to why I possibly want that? Because if he's after the order of Melchizedek, then he couldn't.
We turn the Bible now to the book of Hebrews. Let's start at 5:5. What do you read?
5:5.
So also
Christ glorified not himself, we made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son,
today I have begotten thee.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead. As he said
also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared.
Now, in this quote, we're talking about what they refer to from 5, Christ, correct? Mm-hmm. And it says that he was after the order of Melchizedek.
That's what I wanted to.
Yeah, and a strong quote for backing that up is the book of Numbers. You turn to the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter and the 19th verse.
God, when we read it?
Yeah,
God is not a man. That he should lie, neither the Son of Man, that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it.
Jesus was after the order of somebody.
Right.
And yet they clearly point out in the Bible that Allah Ta'ala is not a man. Yet the Christians say anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ came as a man is an antichrist. So if the Bible says that Allah is not a man, or God is not a man, and the Christians say anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus came as a man is an antichrist, then Jesus can definitely not be God, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm glad you cleared that up. That's super.
If you go to St. John chapter 17, which people seem to jump around, you're going to see a verse where Jesus clearly points out that he is not the Heavenly Father. In chapter 17 of St. John, verse 3, what does he read? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only, wastahu, la sharika lahu, kul huwa Allahu ahad, the only. You see that word only? What follows that, people? Huh? And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the singular, you, the only true God they have, which is Allah. And then they have and Jesus Christ, or Isa and Messiah. Whom what?
thou hast sent. Now, this verse, where Jesus is supposed to be speaking himself about himself and the Comforter, clearly speaks of the separation between him and the eternal God, as they say, or we say Tawheed, the aloneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how he separates himself from Jesus the Messiah. How can a Christian read this and still say Jesus and God is the same person, when he himself separates them right here by the word and, the eternal God and Jesus the Messiah? God is not a man, yet Jesus was a man, and even the Son of Man. You can see that there's a certain spell or disease of blindness that are covering the eyes of people that are being driven by the will of Satan to worship the Almighty as a man and to cut off the contact with the Heavenly Father in the spiritual sense as his sons and daughters. The malicious act of Shaitan himself.
My question is about the rapture. What is the rapture and the meaning of it, and what does it have to do with us?
First and foremost, the rapture is a nice word that's not in the Bible. Okay? Many Christians use it, but you will not find the word rapture in the Bible. What they're referring to is the books of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and the 15th chapter. And in that book, they begin to speak about people being transformed from celestial to terrestrial or terrestrial to celestial, from mortal to immortality, to be taken in a twinkling of an eye. That's what they're speaking about, and the Christians refer to that as the rapture. They're speaking about the day when what's referred to as the mothership by some, which Ezekiel knew as the angels who sat around the throne, 24 angels who had the power to come down to the earth, like they say in Revelation, that we sent another angel down to the earth. Keep on saying, we sent another angel down to the earth. What do they think? He came down and was walking around a little white boy with wings? No, he incarnated down the earth as a man to walk among people, to reveal certain things to them. Gabriel came, like it says in the Quran, to Maryam as a basharan, a human being. You see? So in the latter day, when the day comes, when the 144,000 must be taken up and out of this realm, out of the earth plane, which is called, referred to as Nasut, the realm of Nas, into Malakut, that ship will come, as you call it, which is numbered the elders round about the throne. Each one of these elders are light, energy. You follow that? And they speak to them in the Bible as being whirlwinds of smoking fire. And they will come and they'll take that 144,000 out of the planet and into the crystal city as spoken in the 21st chapter of Revelation and the 20th chapter of Revelation. And there they will reside for 1,000 years while Satan is let loose on the world and judgment on the world starts. And after 1,000 years, which will vary according to the time of heaven, not to the time of earth, that 1,000 years could be one day, or one day could be like unto 1,000 years. Then they will rise back forth from heaven with the Lamb. You follow that? They say they'll be on white horses and shining white. Then there'll be ships coming back to the earth to claim those who are part of the second resurrection or the second death.
We will return with the true light after this brief intermission.